that I'm entitling Heaven and Nature Sing. But it's here the word of the Lord together, beginning in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 1. Isaiah the prophet writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, sharing the word of the Lord that was given to him in the midst of the nation of Judah that was going through a time of uncertainty. And when Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram and Pekah, son of Ramallah, king of Israel, marched up against to fight against Jerusalem, but could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has aligned itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest were shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son Sherub-Jabim, and meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct at the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field, the place where they wash their clothes. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stumps of firewood. Because of the fierce anger of Rezin of Aram, the son of Ramallah, and Ephraim and Ramallah's son, have plotted against your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah and tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make his son a Tebal king over it. But yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. For ahead of Aram is Damascus, and ahead of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people, and the head of Ephraim is Samaria. The head of Samaria is only Ramallah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether it be in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, now hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you also try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. And the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. And you will call him Emmanuel. Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that this morning we can rejoice because Emmanuel has come. You are with us, and you are with us now and always in the trials that we face, in the times that we feel we're under attack, in the times that we feel the enemy may be closing in against us. We can be certain and assured that because of you, Emmanuel was here. We don't need to be afraid. And we know that you are with us and never forsake your own. So bless your word this morning to our heart as we open your word together, as we look to you and discover the deepness of who you are, our Savior, who has come to us. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Christmas time has some of the most beautiful music and carols. I love singing Christmas carols, and it was great to sing them again this morning because the Christmas carols are full of depth and teaching and joy. They call us to rejoice. They tell the wonderful story about the coming of Jesus and the birth of Christ and what that means. But the Christmas carols are also full of deep truth and meaning. Some of them we're going to be singing in the weeks ahead are full of deep theological truth. In fact, John Wesley used to say that you could preach from the hymn book. If you didn't have a Bible, you could preach from the hymn book, right, Ralph? Because of the meaning and depth of the truth of the Word of God that is found there. So this morning we're going to begin a series that I've entitled Heaven and Nature Sing. And I got this idea actually when we were out in Day Spring because I found this little book called Heaven and Nature Sing that has ornaments. It takes all the different hymn books of the Christmas hymns, and it has an ornament. It tells a little bit about the history of those. And so we're going to have those ornaments put on the tree. We're going to tell the story about that. And I said, that gives me an idea for a sermon series for Advent. So I've got to ask Kim to begin with the first one. Today we're going to begin with the hymn, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And our theme this morning is rejoice. And O Come, Emmanuel was translated from Latin into English in 1851, combining thoughts from an exciting worship verse that may have been used in the 17th century. This hymn goes way back. It was believed it was sung in the procession by the Franciscan nuns who were on their way to worship. And the song has become an Advent carol expressing the longing for Christ to come with God with us and our calling to rejoice. In Isaiah chapter 7, we read that Ahaz was the king on the throne of Judah. At this time, the nation of Israel had been split and divided after the death of Solomon. And there was the kingdom of Judah in the south, the kingdom of Israel in the north. And the kingdom of Israel was being led by a king who joined an alliance with Aram to attack their brothers to the south. And so the kingdom of Israel and Aram had joined forces and were surrounding Jerusalem. Jerusalem found itself under attack, and Ahaz was not one of the godly kings of Judah. And so to try to find help, he takes the articles of the temple and he tries to sell them to Assyria to try to get an alliance to help him. And so he's afraid, he's terrified, his city, his country is under attack by the north, and he doesn't know what he's going to do. God sends the prophet Isaiah to him and said, go to him with the message and tell him that he said, you don't have to fear this attack. I'm going to come to your aid. They're not going to be victorious. I am going to protect you. And he said, ask for a sign. And to show you that God says, ask for a sign, the promise that I will be with you. And Ahaz didn't want to. He said, I don't want to put God to a test. But he really didn't want to ask him. And God asked him to do this, but he refused because he didn't really want the Lord's help. So God then said through Isaiah, I will give you a sign. And the sign will be that there's going to be a virgin who will conceive. And she will bear a son. And his name is going to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. We come forward to Matthew chapter 1. And there, Joseph had heard the news that his fiancée, Mary, was pregnant. He didn't fully understand how this happened. Mary had told him that an angel had visited her and told her that she would conceive, but Joseph had a hard time believing this. He said, I can't understand how this would be. He was a godly man. He was saying, how do I deal with this? And in the midst of that, he had a dream. And the angel came and spoke to him and said, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us, the fulfillment of the sign. Luke chapter 2, when Jesus was born, that night overlooking Bethlehem, the angels appeared to the shepherds and said, don't be afraid. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And so in the midst of the time of fear, in the midst of a time of anxiety, God gave a sign. And that sign was that Emmanuel, God's presence, would be with us. And that's the encouragement we have this morning, friends, that as we go through times of fear and anxiety, we go through times of uncertainty, Dawn, and we don't know what's ahead, God is present with us. And that's what Christmas is about. So as we look at this first hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, the words describe so beautifully what the coming of Jesus means. And in every single verse of that hymn is a description of who Jesus is and what he's come to do. And with heaven and nature seeing, this is our first one. We're looking at this hymn together. And we start with as why we can rejoice, because as Emmanuel, God is with us. We see that here in Isaiah chapter 7, if you want the backstory to this, put down 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Write that in your notes. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, I encourage you to read that this week. That's a historical background to what's going on as God sent Isaiah the prophecy here. And you can see the nations were coming and gathering together, Aram and Israel, coming together, trying to attack. They had killed thousands of the people in the south in one day, and Ahaz was afraid. He was terrified. But yet God spoke to him and said, you don't have to be afraid. Emmanuel is coming. I will be with you. I am with you, and I will not forsake you. So the good news of Christmas is, as Emmanuel, we can rejoice this morning because we don't need to be afraid. Ahaz didn't need to be afraid. Joseph didn't need to be afraid. The shepherds didn't need to be afraid because God is with us. And we are not alone, nor will we ever be alone. That's what Emmanuel means, that God is with you. He left heaven, he wrapped himself in human flesh, and he came to us. Living with us now through the Holy Spirit, never, ever leaving us alone again. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. He will not forsake his own. He will never abandon us in our time of need. Even when we feel under attack, even when we feel like we're surrounded by the enemy and he's advancing against us, God is present. Amen. And we can rejoice in that. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. O Israel, Emmanuel, God is with us. And he will always be. That's the good news of Christmas. We can rejoice as well because as the rod of Jesse, we have hope when all seems lost. The second verse of O Come, Emmanuel praises Jesus for being the rod of Jesse. We're going to look at the scripture here. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 11. And a lot of this hymn is built on the prophecies of Isaiah, as Isaiah foretold about the coming of Jesus and what he was going to do. In Isaiah chapter 11, we read, in the NIV, I'm reading out of the NIV, the King James uses the word rod. The NIV uses a different word, root, or shoot, but it says, verse 1, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Isaiah prophesied that because of Israel's sin, because of their rebellion against God, God was going to allow them to be taken into captivity. Yes, he was going to spare Judah for now, but there was going to be a day when they were going to be taken into captivity. And in that time, it would look like the whole nation was lost. And it would look like everything was hopeless. And there was nothing to hope for after that. The tree had been cut down. And there was nothing left. But God said, there is going to be a shoot that's going to come up out of that stump. And when all seems hopeless, that shoot is going to come up. After 400 years of silence and in the darkest times of the world, God spoke through Gabriel, to Zechariah, and then to Mary, and said, the time has come, that shoot is coming out of the stump. And when it seems like all is hopeless, as the rod of Jesse, we have hope, friends. That's what Christmas is about. And it seemed hopeless to Ahaz when God gave him this sign, when his nation was being attacked from the north by that alliance of Israel and Aram. And it seemed hopeless. It seemed hopeless when the country was completely annihilated and taken into captivity. And it was a dark time. But the stump of Jesse came. And we praise him for that. And we can rejoice, friends. So when it seems like all is hopeless to you, know that Jesus is here. And we have hope as the root of Jesse. And we can rejoice in that. Third, we can rejoice because as the day spring, a new light is dawned. The third verse of this hymn, and we're going to sing it in the end, this calls Jesus the day spring. This is based on a verse in Luke chapter 1. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 78. And here the context of this, God had spoken to Zechariah that his wife Elizabeth would conceive. He doubted, didn't believe. But then Zechariah, after he was able to speak, after John was born, he gave a prophecy and he gave a proclamation to the goodness and glory of God and what God had done. In chapter 1, verse 78, he says, "Because of the tender mercy of our God," and God was merciful to him and to us, "because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun," or the King James calls it, "the day spring, will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death and guide our feet into the path of peace." So as the day spring, that word day spring means the first star of the morning. Like after things and it's dark, and they always say it's darkest before the dawn, and when that, and you're in the middle of the nighttime and you're longing for light to dawn and you're longing for that new day to come, the day spring rose. Christ was born and brought the hope, the dawning of a new day. And so with the coming of Christmas, the coming of Jesus, it reminds us that the darkness, friends, is over. And it has passed. And a new day has dawned. And the light has dawned for us. And we have that dawning and the promise, excuse me, of a new day. And we don't have to be afraid anymore. The day spring has arisen. The light has come. The first star of the morning has appeared in the midst of the time of darkness. So as the day spring, know that that hope is here. And fourth, as the key of David, he opens doors and sets us free. The fourth verse of that hymn calls Jesus the key of David. Turn with me, and this is based back on Isaiah again. Let's go back to Isaiah prophecy chapter 22, verse 22. Isaiah 22, 22. Isaiah prophesying again about the coming of the Lord and what he will do. Says, "In that day," verse 22, "I will place on his shoulder," referring to the Messiah, referring to Christ, "I will place on his shoulder," or his authority, "under him, the key to the house of David. And what he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open." Now, when someone has a key in their hand, what does a key do? A key often is authority. If someone has a key, it gives them authority. When you have your car, it gives you the authority to drive your car, no one else but you. Or it gives you the authority and access into a building. And Jesus, who is the key of David, meaning he is the descendant of David, has the authority of the line of David reigning in his control, has the authority and the power to reign and to open doors. And it says here in Isaiah, what he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. Because Christ has supreme authority as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But also he opens doors and he sets captives free. A key gives access. It lets us in to where we're locked out of. And as the key of David, Jesus gives us access to God the Father directly. He gives us access to the kingdom of heaven, which we didn't have access to before. He opened the door for us by his own way, because he is the door and makes that possible for us. He gives us, sets us free, and sets us free from the things that hold us captive. The fears and the doubts and the sins that we can't have victory over. He can and does set us free. He sets the captives free. That's what he does as the key of David. So rejoice in that this morning. That he has opened the door for you and given you access into the very throne room of God. And to think of that, we don't have access. We don't have access to the president. We don't have access to the governor. We don't have access to a lot of people, but we have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because Jesus, the key, opened it up for us. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus says, "I am the living one, and I was dead, but yet I am alive, and I hold in my hands the keys to death, hell, and the grave, because Christ has authority over all of it. It has been placed in his hands, and he has given that authority to us. As the key of David, he opens those doors for you, and he sets us free. And finally, excuse me, as a desire of nations, he brings peace and justice. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Here Isaiah prophesies that when the Messiah comes, when he makes his first coming and also second, he will bring peace. And he says, in that day, verse 2, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains, and it will be raised over the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of our God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways so that we will walk in his path. The law will go out from Zion and the word from Jerusalem, and he will judge between the nations. Excuse me. And settle disputes for the many peoples, and he will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, let us go to the house of Jacob. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. As a desire of nations, Jesus is the one who brings peace. And what is the desire of the world? The world desires that someday all nations would live in peace, that there would be no conflict, that there would be a time of peace and harmony. Well, that will happen when the Messiah comes, when he sets up his kingdom on earth, and he is the Prince of Peace. And as the desire of nations, there is a day coming where justice and peace will prevail when Jesus reigns. Until that time, we have peace and justice through him. He gives us that inner peace. He gives us that peace that our sins have been forgiven, that we're in a right relationship with him. He gives us the peace to know, the peace that the world does not understand because they don't know the Prince of Peace. But someday when the Prince of Peace comes, the desire of all nations of peace and justice will be accomplished through Christ, the King of Kings. And we can rejoice. Emmanuel. And who he is and what he's done. So this morning, we're called to rejoice because God is with us. The rod of Jesse brings hope when all seems lost. A day spring has dawned, giving us new hope and a new day. The key of David has given us access and opened the door to heaven for us. And the desire of all nations of peace and justice will come through Jesus, our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Rejoice, rejoice, O Emmanuel, for God is with us, the coming, the hope of Israel, and the coming of Jesus, the one who was dawned and was born. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that we are heaven and nature joins together to sing your greatness, your glory, your majesty. Lord, indeed, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you are Emmanuel. You are with us. So we don't need to be afraid. When we feel we're under attack, when we feel we're surrounded by the enemy, when we feel he's pressing in and even gaining victory, where it was in the case of Ahaz, yet you spoke your word to him and said, it's not going to happen. They're not going to win because Emmanuel has come to you. And Lord, the enemy sometimes whispers in our ear when he surrounds us and say, we're going to be defeated, but you speak in your word, it's not going to happen because Emmanuel was with us. And the King of Kings, Emmanuel, is with us and he doesn't forsake us and he has won. And the victory is secure. So we don't need to be afraid because we're not alone. We don't face these battles. We don't face these times of darkness alone. Because you are with us now and always. That's the good news of Christmas. And when all seems hopeless and lost, that stump from the root of Jesse appears and gives us that hope to know that that new day is coming and peace and justice will prevail with you. So thank you, Lord, for who you are, that we can rejoice in you. And as we make this Advent journey together, as we prepare our hearts for the celebration of your first coming, we long for the day when you will come again. In our anticipation of that day, Lord, cause us to rejoice as we live for you each and every day. So thank you, Lord, for your truth, for who you are, and how you've revealed yourself through your word. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.